south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
Hey, we're at it again. Let's see how much trouble we can get in today for telling the truth. It seems the truth is not very popular these days, is it? Now, here's some news and data you won't see coming from the first world media slags. It's an article that just came out from a big South American news service, entitled, and I'll translate here, Gun Ownership in Latin America. The countries in Latin America that have the least and most personal gun ownership. Now, isn't that interesting? You hear a lot about gun ownership in the U.S. these days. But what about Latin America? Don't you want to know how many guns are floating around down here? Well, the article starts out by saying Ecuadorians own fewer guns per capita than any of their counterpart countries in Latin America. However, that's about to change since the law just was passed allowing much freer and easier gun ownership. It says, according to a recent survey by the Swiss Small Arms Project, private gun ownership, legal gun ownership in Ecuador is 2.4 guns per 100 inhabitants. Turns out two other gun surveys by Inside Crime and Wise Voter put the number slightly higher at 2.6 and 2.7 guns per 100. Those survey numbers are so close, they've got to be pretty much right on. We're talking about legal, registered gun ownership. All right. By contrast, a composite survey shows Venezuelans own 19 guns per 100, with most of those guns unregistered and therefore illegal. Now, in Paraguay, that landlocked country in South America, they've got a grand total of 17 legal guns owned per 100 population. And with Honduras, 14 guns per 100. In Colombia, it's 11 legal guns per 100 residents. All that versus world leader in gun ownership, the U.S., of course, with 120 guns for every 100 citizens. Now, here's something almost no one knows. I didn't know it. Number two in the world for gun ownership, legal gun ownership, is Yemen at 53 guns per 100. Who'd have thunk, huh? Who could even find Yemen on the map? For that matter, before Bukele converted to Bitcoin and threw all his gangbangers in jail, who could find El Salvador on the map? By the way, a famous web publication called Inside Crime reports that 50 to 60% of all firearms owned by Latin Americans are not registered. Therefore, technically illegal. Take the example of Ecuador. It says 58% of firearms owned by Ecuadorians are not registered, and there is little official effort to enforce gun registration laws. This article from Inside Crime goes on to say, typical of most Latin American countries, in Ecuador, monitoring of gun ownership is a very low priority for the government. For example, in 2021, only 13 fines were issued in the whole country for unregistered firearms, and all of these were the result of a crime committed. In other words, not a single person in the whole country who had an illegal gun was fined or put in jail, unless he used it to commit a crime. So if you're a law-abiding gringo citizen who's got an unregistered, therefore illegal gun in the cupboard at home, or slightly law-abiding, I mean, if you have an illegal gun, you're not law-abiding, not exactly, right? So if you happen to be in a possession of an unregistered, therefore illegal gun, or let's say you've got a gun with the serial numbers ground off of it, how'd that happen? Don't laugh, I've seen quite a few like that. Anyway, you've got almost no chance of getting caught or fined. Now, I'm not advocating it, I'm just giving you some stats here. By the way, throughout Latin America, there are lots of security companies, you know, private security firms that train and farm out rent-a-cops. There's a company called Wacken Hut. They and a company called Golan, it's an Israeli company, have pretty much a lock on security companies, that is, organized, dependable companies that train up these guys, at least to a certain degree. Now, some people just go about it by putting an ad in the paper. If you just list it in the job wanted ads, you can pay about half of what those companies like Wacken Hut and Golan will charge. But getting a cop that way is no guarantee the guy's trained up or dependable or not a crook himself. In other words, you won't know what kind of people will show up for the interview. Now, if you're hiring a guard or a rent-a-cop, if you put in the ad that he must have his own gun, then you'll really knock down that applicant pool because most rent-a-cops don't even have their own guns. You have to supply it. Anyway, if you hire a company like Whackin' Hut or Golan. They'll send you an overweight, pot-bellied rent-a-cop who at least has been vetted, can use a firearm, and has been polygraphed. So you can be confident you're not hiring a low-grade criminal right off the bat. Plus, he'll come with a clean uniform and a gun. Now, whether he can use it or not, you never know, but he'll at least know where to point it. So then what kind of gun? Usually, by the way, a 12-gauge shotgun. That seems to be the weapon of choice for the vast majority of rent-a-cops. Though 99% of those pump shotguns are all beat up with the finish worn right off of them. Details, details. But those guns are all beat up because those guys don't own their own weapons. The company provides them, and you know what happens when you don't have to shell out the dough for something. That's right, you never take care of it like it was your own. Anyway, according to Ronaldo Molina, former executive of that big security company, Whackin' Hut, he says he's not surprised that 50 to 60% of all firearms in Latin America are not registered, therefore illegal, and the cops rarely crack down on it. He says he's well aware it's not a priority. Then he says, which is quite interesting, he says, most Latin American countries don't have a tradition of sports shooting except in Argentina and Uruguay. That's why those two countries have double, even triple, the number of guns compared to other Latin American countries. And he says as far as Ecuador's numbers, he says almost all of those gun sales were done before 2011 when the new ownership restrictions began. Now, if you recall in last week's show, I mentioned that Ecuador's president just lifted those restrictions due to a huge crime wave throughout Ecuador in the last year or two. Turns out crimes of all sorts have nearly doubled in just the past 2 years in Ecuador. Could that have something to do with all the gringos that are piling in? And when gringos pile in, so do the gypsies, tramps, and thieves. Anyway, this former Whackin' Hut security official says most gun deals are done in back rooms and there is very little enforcement of the rules. He says as far as the regular law-abiding citizen who wants to have a gun for protection in his home, why go through the government bureaucracy, visit five or six different buildings, waste a day or two and pay exorbitant taxes just to buy a gun when you can get one in an hour or two by just going to a corner hardware store and asking around? By the way, when Ecuador's former national police commissioner was asked if the new law providing much more lenient gun ownership laws will tend to increase or affect the crime rate in general, former national police commissioner Juan Santos says he doesn't think the projected increased gun ownership will affect crime rates at all. He said it should make some people feel good, but he doesn't think crime will rise. Now, if you ask the common person on the street about guns and gun laws in Latin America, you'll hear the same thing over and over again. People who have them for protection, even if in the past they were once legal and registered, people forget to re-register them when their licenses expire, because many of them have been handed down from grandfather to father to son. Which means there's lots and lots of rusted old firearms hidden away in closets in Latin America. And you know, when talking to people on the street about guns, crimes, gangs, the whole works, the common people, the masses, people living in the barrios, middle and lower middle classes, will tell you the police are useless. Which is why certain people feel they have to take matters into their own hands, have a gun in the house just in case, and hope not to get caught if they have to use it. Not that they ever will, it's a rarity when an owner actually has to use one or fire it. By the way, did you know the gun that won the West was the 1873 Colt Peacemaker? That was its name, the Peacemaker. Though you wouldn't know that by all the Hollywood cowboy movies, it actually was a Peacemaker. Back then, it cost $17, which is around $400 in today's funny money. Now, of course, we all know the U.S. has a gun culture. But in Latin America, except for Mexico, most other Latin American countries do not. And for the most part, gun ownership is an exception. You know, not so long ago, I was talking to a guy that owned a little corner tienda. I don't know how the conversation turned to guns, but it did. He said, I wish I had a gun, but they're way too expensive. He said, only delinquents, Latinos with money, and gringos have guns. The rest of us, he said, can't afford them. And I'll tell you, he certainly was right about the affordability of guns down here. If you buy one legally, by the time you've gone through all the bureaucratic hoops, you're paying about twice what you'd pay up in the States. Oh, and another thing, if you buy a gun down here from a gun shop, you can't just buy it and walk out. You can't do that in the States either. It'll take a couple of days to go through all the bureaucratic hoops until you finally get it in your hand. However, if you're buying a gun from a private party, you'll find the new owner just avoids the re-registration process. That means when you buy the gun, and if it was bought legally in the first place, you may have possession of it because you just bought it. But as far as the government's concerned, it's still registered in the previous owner's name. Lots and lots of deals are done that way. And it's really no big thing as long as you keep the gun in your house. But you'll never get permission to carry it in public unless it's registered in your own name. Oh, and if you're wondering about all those crazy gringos with guns all throughout Latin America, I've known and run into lots and lots of them. And I've yet to hear a story of a gringo having to use one. Though, quite a few of them plunk away at cans or go to the shooting range. However, I have to mention one little thing. You might think this a bit of a cowboy move on my part, but believe me, I did it because I was advised to. You know, I've lived out in the boonies a lot here in Latin America. At times in a nice house way out in the boonies, but in a gated, guarded subdivision where I couldn't even see the neighbors. There was so much wooded space and vegetation between the lots. Anyway, I've always been a gun owner, and I've always kept a 12-gauge shotgun around the house for personal protection. A pump shotgun, not a semi-automatic, because a pump shotgun will never fail you, like a revolver will never fail you. It's a great thing to have around the house for your wife, girlfriend, or better half, whatever. Yep, you could teach her how to use it just fine in about 5 minutes. For one, it's not something you take to the shooting range. All you have to do is kind of aim in the general direction and pull the trigger. You can even do it while closing your eyes. Makes a huge noise, scares the hell out of people, which is just the effect you want. Anyway, one day at my house out in the boonies, the maintenance guy said, "Hey, I see you got a shotgun." He says, "You know what you should do once in a while, every couple months? Sometime around 10 or 11 at night. Just go out in the backyard and fire a round into the sky." I said, "Really? What for?" He said, "It just lets all the neighbors and everybody around know you're a prepared guy." And I thought, well, kind of a cowboy move, but sounds reasonable. So every couple months, I'd do just that. Kind of looked forward to it, actually. Oh, and you know what else my maintenance guy told me? He said, if ever at night you hear a gunshot in the distance, if it sounds fairly close and not miles away, that would also be a good time to shoot around into the sky. I mean, really, for all you know, the guy's shooting a fox in his henhouse. And what you're doing by shooting around is just making a little announcement that you're into protecting your property, too. If that makes sense, it's not something you'd do up in the States, or you'd certainly get a visit from the cops and have some explaining to do. But this is Latin America, you know. And of course, you've heard me say this before, if you're not into guns at all and you're going to live out in the county, out in the boonies, it could be kind of isolated out there where your neighbors aren't too close at all. The next best thing, and maybe even better yet, is to have a Rottweiler or a Doberman or both. Then again, you won't have many friends coming to visit, many callers, because Latinos are scared to death of those two breeds, which also proves why those two breeds are infinitely better than any rent-a-cop. Oh, and once in a while, when the subject of owning a big dog down here comes up, a green gringo or newbie just might say, "I understand sometimes they poison dogs down here, so what's the use?" To which I mention I've heard that rumor too, but in my 30-plus years down here, I never once heard of a case or even read of a case like that. Just rumors, man, rumors. I'm not saying it's never happened. But if it were fairly common, shouldn't a guy who's been living down here so many years like me have heard, at least, of a few cases, if it's actually true? Oh, and by the way, as far as those kinds of rumors, you know, poisoning dogs, even as those rumors go, it's not about poisoning the dog to rob a house or a person. It would be because of a neighborhood nuisance dog that barks all night. By the way, if you've got a dog that likes to bark all night, or you've got a neighbor whose dog barks all night and drives you crazy, no need to get pissed off, no need to fret, no need to snuff it out or plan any kind of revenge. You just do what I do, and it works like a charm. Now, some of you aren't going to like this, but the quick and easy solution is to buy a shock collar for around 40 or 50 bucks on Amazon. You just put said collar on that dog, keep that control knob or fob nearby, and when that dog starts barking for no reason at all, hit that button once and, man, he'll stop in a hurry. Now, I know there are some softies out there who think that's cruel and unusual punishment. But remember, it only takes a day or two to train a dog that way. Then you take that collar off and you never have to use it again. Now, come on, don't you think a couple of moments of discomfort for the dog would be much better than tossing a few rocks at it, planning its demise, or revenge against your neighbor? And even if it is your neighbor's dog, you just go over there and explain to him, "Look, none of us appreciates your dog's midnight barking. You don't either. Have you heard of this thing called a shock collar? Professional dog trainers use them all the time. Have you ever used one? I mean, on your dog, not your better half. They're not inhumane. In fact, they're very humane. Sometimes I think they should be mandatory gifts in maternity hospitals, too." All right. Now, an email from Seth, S-E-T-H. Moms, dads, why would you name your kid Seth? No offense, Seth. Not your fault. You were too young to object. He says, Johnny, I've been to Mexico a few times and Brazil just recently. I know a bit of Spanish, and when I get into discussions with the locals, inevitably, the subject of crime comes up. Lots of hot topics there. Narcos, gangs, drugs, cocaine, fentanyl, mass murders, decapitations, disappearances, etc., etc. Everybody's got an opinion. Though I've found out, Johnny, little by little, especially over the last year or so, all those Mexicans who can only get into the States illegally or by coyote, they're starting to wise up to the idea that the United States ain't so safe at all. They're getting the news about all those mass killings and shootings in schools and stuff, too. For example, a number of social media sites have this article posted in both Spanish and English. It says, in the USA, at the end of last March, at a Christian college in Nashville, Tennessee, a 28-year-old radically idealized individual murdered 6 people, including several children. According to CNN, this would be the 19th such attack in a school or university so far this year in the United States. Let us recall the painful massacre in Uvalde, Texas, last May 24th, in which an 18-year-old killed 21 people in elementary school, most of them children and 2 teachers, and wounded 17 others. These events terrify the inhabitants of the United States, whether they are natives or immigrants, whites or blacks. Everyone in the United States, without distinction, is terrified. Blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. Well, guess what, Johnny? I took a recent trip south of the border to Brazil. Why would I do that? Well, my wife's Brazilian. It was my first trip there. And apparently, really bad news from Brazil never makes it up to the States. At least, I've never seen these reports. I certainly wasn't prepared to what I was seeing in the news media services and the newspapers. Guess what? Mass murders of this type are happening in Brazil just like they are in the U.S., with the population there terrified as well. He says, I wonder if any Americans have ever heard about this stuff. I'd like to read you some of this. Luckily, this internet news site has an English translation. It says, on the very same day of the U.S. Nashville massacre, Monday, March 27, 2023, a tragedy similar to that occurred in Sao Paulo, Brazil, at an elementary school. A 13-year-old boy stabbed his 71-year-old teacher to death in the classroom. It was learned that the young boy had announced his action on social media the day before. He says, this situation is happening all over Brazil. For example, there was a massacre in Blumau, Santa Catarina, Brazil, in which a 25-year-old individual entered a building by circumventing the security of a daycare center on the morning of April 5th, 2023. That's just a week ago. He entered with an axe in hand and took the lives of 4 children and wounded 5 others. The ages of the victims were between 3 and 7 years old. The criminal went straight to the police to turn himself in immediately after committing the crime. He also announced his actions on social media networks. But that's not all. Just a few days ago, on the early morning of Friday, April 7th, 2023, in the Brazilian city of Araquara, in the same state of Sao Paulo, a man entered the municipal hospital José Negro Neto, asking to be attended to. And after being seen by the doctors, he took out a knife and started stabbing people. He stabbed 7 victims in the waiting room. And when confronted, tried to flee the premises. He took a nurse hostage, trying to shield himself. But he was subdued and the nurse released by quick action of the authorities. He also bragged about his crime on social media. Now, Johnny, all those Brazilian perps may have been nuts. And that's what they had in common. But they also had one more thing in common. They all announced their intentions or reported them on social media networks. It's like you said in past shows, Johnny, everybody wants their 15 minutes of fame. The crazier and more outrageous, the better. Then he says, Johnny, it looks to me like a contagion that's spread by social media. The takeaway from this, or what I took away, all you gringo expat gonna-bes and wannabes, don't think by moving to Latin America, you'll be putting yourself at a great distance from American-style mass shootings and psychopathic nutsos. Looks like that contagion has made it here to Latin America in a big way, too, with almost no so-called lag time effect at all. Just wondering, Johnny, if you're hearing of these mass murder breakouts on the grapevine, because we're certainly not getting this kind of news up here in the States. Then he says, keep it up, Johnny. I don't miss a show. Signed, Seth, from East Orange, New Jersey. Well, Seth, thanks for that. But as you know, if you're a long-time listener, I'm not much of a fan of Brazil. Almost every gringo and expat I know that's been down there for a while has been robbed or assaulted, even outside their own tourist hotels, like in Ipanema Beach. A nice place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there. Though, obviously, not the whole country's in the shitter. But hey, it's such a big place, and it's so corrupt, it's almost ungovernable. Anyway, if you're asking me if I've heard about any mask crazy-ass shootings in Latin America in general, the short answer is no, except, again, in Mexico. I'm sure you've heard all the stories by now of even school kids gone missing in mass numbers, where you got mothers on the streets with signs and posters protesting, blocking roads, begging authorities to investigate disappearances and multiple murders. But nothing happens, and even when some evidence does reveal itself, nearly 100% of the time, it's corrupt cops and officials that are involved. And since that kind of sordid news comes out of Mexico practically every day, people aren't so shocked and surprised by it. Hell, there have even been Mexican and Hollywood movies made about it. And still, no resolution. Nothing happens. And American tourists keep flocking on down. Anyway, as to your question, Seth, I haven't heard of those killings in Brazil. I don't know why those articles don't make it up to the States or even to the rest of Latin America. Though it does look like that particular U.S. contagion has landed. And I'd say you pretty much hit it on the head when you said it probably wouldn't be much of a problem at all if it wasn't for anti-social media. That's how you get your 15 minutes of fame, and if social media didn't exist, maybe no such killings. Here's a cliche for you. What's the world coming to? It ain't coming to anything. It's here already. However, you can be sure I'll report on any of those crazy-ass multiple killings or mass shootings if they happen here in the rest of Latin America. Oh, and by the way, all you gun control advocates out there, if you'd noticed, all those attacks and killings mentioned in Brazil were 100% gun-free. Axes and knives were the weapons of choice. Definitely have to pass a law, right? Maybe only legalize plastic knives and axes. Oh, and here's an email that's a little bit off the subject, but it makes sense. It's from Jack C. He says, "Johnny, I'm so sick of what kind of people pass for heroes and icons in our society. LeBron James, Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, DiCaprio, and all those idiot Hollywood blabbermouths. Bad Bunny, Cardi B, pathetic. Johnny, I heard some famous psychologist say in an interview, I think it was Jordan Peterson. He said something like this, accept the fact that all your heroes are full of shit. They're not superhumans or gods. They're just regular people who got very good at one thing by sacrificing literally everything else, including friends, family, and loved ones. They're all extremely flawed, but that's not the side they show you." Then Jack C. says, "Johnny, have you ever heard of the red sneaker effect? Does that ring true in Latin America as well as in the United States, or is that to be expected soon enough, but on lag time right now?" Well, Mr. Jack, I do know what the red sneaker effect is. How about you listeners out there? Well, I'll fill you in with this example. Now, you probably noticed yourself that in poor neighborhoods, even up in the States, the poorer the neighborhood, the bigger the status logos on people with their tracksuits and hoodies and t-shirts and shoes. In other words, when you're in the ghetto or the hood, you can't help but notice that people like to mark their status by these big old logos they have on their tracksuits and hoodies and t-shirts and shoes, even though they live in shit neighborhoods. It's a way for the people who live there to show their status. Then, you've probably noticed, or maybe you didn't, as neighborhoods get nicer and wealthier, the logos and labels on the clothes shrink smaller and smaller. And it's the houses and cars and lawns that get bigger and more spectacular. Suddenly, status is not about logos and stickers anymore. Now, as far as this red sneaker effect thing, have you noticed that a CEO or business owner that's worth a few million bucks, he wears a nice three-piece suit to work, drives a Mercedes SUV or Range Rover, maybe has a Rolex or Philip Petit $5,000 watch, and he's got his shirt sleeves set just right so that onlookers can see that watch just peeking up. That's the style of your average CEO worth a million or so. Then you've got those young man billionaires. They come to work in sweatpants and a hoodie driving a Honda. That's the red sneaker effect. When you're so ungodly rich that you can dress down at work, sometimes way down. So much so that it actually has its own kind of cachet. Hobo chic, you might call it. Only billionaires can get away with that, because these days they're sort of celebrities. When you've reached that level, no one would dare snicker or whisper behind your back. Whereas if just a run-of-the-mill CEO showed up at a board meeting in a hoodie, sweats, and sneakers, As soon as he left the room, people would snicker. Who does he think he is? Jeff Bezos or Elon? Anyway, that's the red sneaker effect, if you didn't know already. And of course, Jack in his email is asking if that red sneaker effect applies here in Latin America, man. No, Jack, no. Down here, it's all about showing off, all about showing what you have or even don't have. I have to predict the lag time on the red shoe effect is going to be severe. Not in my lifetime, anyway. Maybe not in yours and mine combined. In this society, the Latin society, in every single socioeconomic category, it's all about the show. That's why people are super overextended. They talk about in the States how half the people can't scrape together $500 for an emergency. Down here in Latin America, I'd say it's more like half the population couldn't scratch together $50. Hell, that might apply to 80% of the population. Fact is, and maybe this is a reflection on me, I probably had 10 Latin American girlfriends so far in the last 30 years. And every single one of them was jacked up to the limit on her credit cards, or nearly so. Then again, 2 out of 3 of my sisters up in Chicago are like that too. And they should know better. They've got advanced degrees. So I guess that's no indication of good or bad money management, huh? Wish it was, but it ain't. By the way, I don't know if I mentioned this before. I probably have. I've done a lot of shows, so repeat myself occasionally. Anyway, I've got an almost foolproof way of telling if someone, a guy or a gal, is putting on the dog. Meaning they're all dressed up, really sharp looking like $1 million. But you know, it all could be just an illusion. How do you know if they're not just showing off and are really making just minimum wage? My detective method is to look at the fingernails and the shoes. Because, you know, it costs money to get manicures and pedicures. And even a brand new pair of nice shoes only lasts so long, right? Before they start getting a little cracked and worn around the edges. And even though those shoe shine boys are everywhere and they can do them up nice for a buck or even 50 cents, no one can bring those high mileage cracks and bruises back to life. Besides, these days, the middle class and lower middle class locals almost never buy anything made out of real leather. It's just too expensive. And we all know real leather products last 3, 4, 5 times more than these plastic belts, purses, and footwear coming out of China, right? In fact, a lot of leather products actually look better as they age. They get that nice, luxurious patina going, which is never true of the plastic crap coming out of China. So that's my tip for checking if someone's putting on the dog. The nails and the shoes are dead giveaways. That goes for guys and gals, but not for gays. Their nails and shoes are almost always impeccable. It's all about the details and priorities.
South of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.